Somebody said amen. The psalmist would say it like this in Psalms 139 and 7. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, which is applicable for Jonah, the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. If I say, well, the night's going to cover me so that he won't see me, he says, God, you'll just, the night is as the day for you. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. I can't hide in the dark because you see it just like it's the light. Wherever we go, whatever decisions we make, whatever road we choose to walk down, at the end of it all, he will be right there waiting for us. Somebody said amen. And in that moment, his plans for our life will not have changed. And his purpose for our lives will not have altered. And the direction for our living will not have been modified. Because at the end of it all, as we will see in the life of Jonah in just a bit, the Lord will simply bring us right back to the same test that he started with in the first place. In order to see, are we going now to submit to the process of what it takes to pass the test, or are we just going to keep disobeying and talking and justifying and qualifying, and then he's just going to have to bring us right back again and bring us right back again and bring us right back again. So then we get to Jonah chapter 1, verse 11. Then said they unto him, so he's still on the boat, got these the sailors there, they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. So what do we need to do to fix this, Jonah? You're the one. You got the cast. The lot was yours. You're the problem. So what do we got to do to you to fix this mess so we don't all die? Verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, now watch. Nevertheless, the men rowed. So he tells them, he said, I'm the problem. Throw me overboard and everything's going to be fine. But the men said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the boat to the land. But they could not get there because the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Now just think with me a little bit. I need your minds for a little bit more. Jonah absolutely knew that he was the reason for the storm. And he absolutely knew that the storm wouldn't stop until he was thrown over, right? And yet, he still allowed the sailors to try to row the boat to the shore. Why? Because safety was at the shore. Now think this through with me. It was almost as if Jonah was still hoping to find a way to not have to submit, but also not sink. He says, throw me over. I'm the one. And they're like, well, we're going to try to make it to the shore. And he's like, all right. Keep rowing, boys. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. Because if we can get to the shore, we can't sink there. And I'll be spared there. And I can keep doing what I want to do and not have the consequences for doing it. Are you with me? Ooh, hallelujah. So he's still looking for a way to continue doing what he wants to do, but not experience the repercussions of doing it. Oh, hallelujah. How often in my ministry have I seen people who have acted in the very same way? And how often have I acted in the very same way? For their desire was to continue to live in disobedience. So what did they do? They looked and continued looking for ways that they could personally pull themselves through the storms. Stay with me now. How can I get myself through this? Because if I could get myself through this storm that was brought about by my own submission, but if I can get myself through this storm, then once the storm abates and once the storm stops, I can just keep living how I want to live. And I can keep believing what I want to believe. So what do? They try to endure the consequences instead of fixing what needs fixed so the consequences aren't there in the first place. Am I making any sense right now? How can I just endure this? I know there's ramifications for all this stuff, but how can I just endure it? And how can I just learn to live with the consequences? Because if I can just learn to live with the consequences, then I can keep doing what my flesh wants to do. Oh, hallelujah. Because when Jonah should have been telling those sailors, guys, put the oars down. That's not going to fix anything. He didn't. He just let them keep rowing. So eventually, everybody good? Eventually, the sailors and Jonah realize that man's strength cannot overcome God's strength. And man's abilities cannot overcome God's abilities. So we pick up the story again, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea. And immediately the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. Remember, at the beginning of this story, they're praying to their little g gods. At the end of the story, they're sacrificing unto the Lord. Verse 17. So here they are. They're at 1, 2. Whew. They throw Jonah overside. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, you have to remember that whereas we can read this story, specifically this first chapter, in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, and we know what the outcome is. We know. From just reading it. We know that God had prepared this great fish. And we just by reading the text, we can find out that in just a few minutes, he throws him over the side of the boat, but a great fish comes and swallows him up. And he's in there for 3 days and 3 nights. And in the belly of that fish keeps Jonah alive in the sea for these 3 days. We know that. But Jonah didn't know that. He didn't know that. Can you imagine? Again, give me your minds here. Think through this story a little bit. Can you imagine that moment in that boat when those guys pick up Jonah? Remember, the storm is lashing. Stuff's blowing everywhere. I mean, the wind howling and thunder and lightning. And when that lightning would flash in the darkness of that sea, you could see fear etched on the face of Jonah because he's about to be thrown over the boat into that storm, into that water, and he's going to die. He knows this. This is what he knows. I am about to die. Can you imagine? Now just think about this. We find, obviously, the Lord spared him. He didn't die. And this great big fish comes up and swallows him. Okay, you guys have got to, you got to be with me here now, okay? A fish swallows him. Now, I know if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard this mess, you've heard this story, and you've whatever. A fish swallows. He's in the stomach of an animal. Think about that. There's no light switch. There was no light at all. It was as dark could ever be. So think about this now. All of you that are a little claustrophobic might not want to think about it too. I don't know how big that stomach was. But he's in the stomach of a fish. And it stinks. And it is completely dark. Your face is funny. He has no clue where he's at. He has no idea what has happened. You got to remember the storm, and it was dark and all this kind of stuff, and the waves and the white caps and all. So he's get thrown over, and all of a sudden, gloop. It's not like he's seen this thing coming. It's like, okay, I know what that is, and it's about to swallow me. And I mean, it's just, it's over. And he's in this belly, and it's dark. I mean, what a horrible place to be. Can you imagine the emotional trauma? I mean, you know, if all my kids are, they come and jump in the bed with us and they're kind of laying on top of me and I can't move, I start kind of, start pushing kids off. You know, I need to. He's in a belly. The emotional trauma is beyond anything I can possibly even imagine. He would have been bouncing around in this fish as it's swimming, going down, coming up. He's falling. He can't get his equilibrium. He can't get his balance. It's slimy in there. It's disgusting in there. He doesn't eat anything. No, I'm doing this on purpose. I want you to understand. It's not like he can eat anything for 3 days. I mean, what do you drink? Yeah, it's gross. It's horrible. Traumatic. And here's the other thing. Think about this. As horrible as this is, as terrifying as this is, we know it lasts 3 days. Jonah didn't. How long does it take? I don't know. How long does it take somebody? How do you die if you're swallowed by a big fish? From lack of food? How long does that take? Lack of water? How long does that take? I don't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't know 3 days. All of this, how long am I going to be in here? How long have I been in here? He doesn't even know. He doesn't know how long it's been. For him, it probably seemed like 3 weeks. How fearful must that have been? How confusing must that have been? How emotionally catastrophic must that have been? So this is what Jonah's going through. And then we get to chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we're not going to talk through this whole thing. I'm just going to read it. Then Jonah prayed. Yes. Good idea. Unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Prayer meeting in the belly of a fish. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell. This is me trying to describe it to you. It doesn't even come close to how he's describing it. He describes it as the belly of hell. Cried I, and you heard my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods, the waters compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. Now watch this. The weeds, he's talking about seaweed, wrapped around my head. This fish, as it's eating other fish, and the seaweed's getting in there in the stomach, and the seaweed is all wrapped around me. He said, I'm having a prayer meeting with seaweed wrapped around my head. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Talking about, you know, all the way down to the sea, in the bottom of the sea. The earth with her bars was about me forever. The analogy is there's the foundation of the whole world, which is like at the very depths of the sea. The bars, the foundation. He said, I went all the way down there. Yet hast thou brought up my life for corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple, that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now watch verse 9. So he's praying all this stuff, but it's like, Jonah, you haven't said the most important thing yet. You're doing an awful lot of talking, but you're not saying the most important thing. But I will set, verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. When Jonah says that he will pay what he vowed, he's telling the Lord, I will submit to what you asked me to do. I'll pay what I vow. I'll do what you asked me to do. Oh, hallelujah. I will now be obedient to what you called me to do. From this moment on. And it obviously includes Nineveh. And everything thereafter. Now here's what's so crazy about this. He never got to that point of becoming willing to pray that prayer when he was on the boat. Think about that. The storm, everything. You guys got to throw me over. Jonah, why didn't you just get down on your knees and pray that prayer at that point? Now, I'm not God, but I'm just going to have to believe that if he got down at that moment and said, God, I'll pay the vow that I vowed. I'll do everything you want me to do. I'm just going to have to believe the storm's going to stop. Because that's what happens here. But he doesn't say it. This is so mind-blowing to me. In fact, he was willing to die. He was willing to die instead of telling the Lord, I'll submit to your purpose and I'll submit to your plan. And the truth is that there are some who refuse to submit to the plan of God for their lives, even though they know full well the negative consequences that are going to be brought about because of it. They know full well the negative ramifications, but they refuse. They refuse. I would rather experience the ramifications. I would rather go through all of that stuff than to have to submit to the will and the purpose of the Lord. Man, what a terrible place. And here's the thing we need to also remember about the storm when he was on the boat and he refuses to pray this prayer that would have stopped the storm. What we also have to understand is the storm was Jonah's, but it didn't just affect Jonah. It affected everybody that was close to him as well. Somebody needs to understand that an unsubmitted heart does not just affect you. It affects those closest to you as well. And when we make decisions and we say, no, I'm gonna dig my heels in and I refuse to be submitted to that, and I don't care what the consequences are, you have to understand a lot of times those consequences aren't just gonna come on you. But your family's gonna have to experience those consequences because those closest to you will experience the storms with you. But eventually, by the grace and the mercy of God, Jonah gets to this place, into this horrible, horrible place by the grace and the mercy of God. This horrible place in the belly of a fish. And he comes to himself like the prodigal son. And he sees this tremendous price that he's paying for his unsubmitted heart. And he tells the Lord, I'm willing to submit to what you've asked me to do. Stay with me just a few more minutes. I'm willing to do what you've asked me to do. But it took God getting him to that place. And the very next verse says this, Jonah 2 and 10. Soon as he says, I'll pay the vow that I vowed. I'll do exactly what you want me to do. The very next verse, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Gross. As soon as he submits, the Lord said, now we can start. You pass the test. Fish, go to dry ground, vomit him up. He's got a work to do. Which now brings us to chapter 3. So he's vomited out on the shore, stinky, nasty. Watch, and I'm almost done. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. If you go back to Jonah 1, you will see that these were the words, almost verbatim, that the Lord spoke to him in Jonah 1 and 1. And I need somebody to understand how God works, because he does not alter his plan just because we're disobedient to it. All he does, please get this, and I'm closing. In our disobedience and in our unsubmitted ways, here's what he does. He just moves us in a big circle. And in that circle, there's storms, trials, difficulties. But none of it's the judgment of God, it's the mercy of God. And it's the grace of God. And his hand is upon us through it. And then he brings us right back to the same place. And he says, will you submit now to the very same thing that I asked you to submit to then? And if we say no, he says, let me put you on a journey. Storms, trials. Brings us right back to the very same thing, the same words, and says, will you submit now? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody needs to understand that the test of submission is not going to lessen over time. And the test of obedience is not going to lessen over time. It's not going to get, the test is not going to get any easier. He's just going to bring us right back to it. Over and over and over and over and over again until we pass the test. Because here's what we have to understand, and I'm almost done. It is only 8:45, but I'm closing. Here's what we have to understand. Your purpose and my purpose and your ministry and my ministry and what we were called to do on this earth, none of it can move forward until we pass these tests. You say, well, I want to do something great for God, or I want to be used for the kingdom of God. I don't really like that test. I don't want to be submitted to that test. But, man, I'm going to do something great for God. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's impossible. It is impossible. Because he'll just keep bringing you right back around. And in that whole journey, that whole circle, you're never getting anywhere. You're never progressing. You're never moving forward. You're never advancing in the kingdom. Your ministry's never advancing. Nothing is advancing. No doors will be open to you. No opportunities will be open to you. Nothing. Because he's got to get you back to that point of submission where you pass the test. And then once you pass the test, then the doors open. Then the opportunities are there. Then his hand can be upon your life to do something great for the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Do we understand this tonight? And so look at Jonah's response the second time the Lord brought him to this test. Jonah 3:1, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach it into the preaching that I bid thee. Verse 3, so Jonah arose, went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And the whole point of all of this was to show us this. Two chapters of this book should have never been written. If Jonah, in Jonah 1:1, when God says, get up, go to Nineveh, preach the gospel, if Jonah would have responded and said, so Jonah arose, went to Nineveh, and preached, there are no storms. Jesus, help us right now. There's no boat. There's no casting of lots. There's no throwing him out into the deep and he thinks he's going to die. There's no horrible 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish. There is none of those things. None of them. None of them. But those things have to be written only because of disobedience and an unsubmitted heart. His story did not have to include any of the heartache that it included. Any of the suffering, any of the confusion, any of the darkness, any of the despair. His story did not have to have those two chapters written in it at all. And the truth of the matter is this. There are chapters in my life that didn't have to be written. And there are chapters in your life that didn't have to be written. But what I'm preaching tonight is not for you and I to just look back and realize that we did things we shouldn't have done, because how many know we can't go back? The reason I'm teaching this tonight, and the word of the Lord wants somebody to hear this word tonight, is to spare somebody. Because if you're going in a direction you shouldn't be going, and if there's unsubmission in your heart, and if there's disobedience in your life, the only way God in his grace and mercy can fix that is to allow some certain chapters in your life to be written that are going to include some things that you don't want to have to go through. Because it is in that process that he then gets you back to the test. Jesus, help us right now. I'm trying to spare somebody some painful chapters. I was talking to somebody just today. I was telling them a little bit about what I was feeling, and I brought up the word, you know, submission and all this kind of stuff. And this individual made the comment. They said, you know, that I don't know that we should use that word. And it's such an offensive word. It's such an offensive word. Can you find some other word that kind of means the same thing, but you know, it's maybe not as offensive. And I began to think about that today, and I realized the only reason why submission is offensive is because man has made it offensive. Man has made it offensive. Because the truth of the matter is, and something that I have tried to do in this church for years now, is I have tried to let this church and teach this church, because everything rises and falls on submission. It's the foundation of everything. Everything. The whole word, everything in Scripture, it all falls, or it all is built on a submitted heart and a submitted life. If you're not submitted, you're not going to repent. You're not going to be baptized. You're not going to fill with the Holy Ghost. You're not going to move forward in the things of God. You're not going to be obedient to the word of the Lord, on and on and on. And what I have strived to do for 20 years in this church is to teach this church that submission is not a negative thing, but submission is a positive thing. And every time you hear submission, it should not make you feel, oh, and somebody's pushing me down and somebody's holding me back. No, but when you see submission, you can say, you know what? Submission keeps me from having some chapters in my life that are painful. Stand to your feet. Submission and me being submitted to the process and submitted to the call of God on my life and submitted to the things that He wanted me to do, even when it was painful, even when I didn't want to do it, even when whatever, but I submitted to it. And because I submitted to it, chapters were not written. To me, that is a beautiful thing. To me, submission is a glorious thing. I've never one time, and if I had, I didn't do it on purpose. I've never one time used this word submission from a bully standpoint. You got to do what we tell you to do. You got to do what I tell you to do, because that's not the way I feel about submission at all. We get to do this. We get to submit to the purpose and plan of God. And in the obedience of that, we get to escape some storms. We get to escape some traumatic things. We get to escape. And some chapters of our life don't have to be written, because we're submitted to the purpose and the plan of God. If that's the way you feel, would you lift your hands? Just lift your hands and talk to Him right now. It may be that there may be an area in your life where you know you're not submitted in. It doesn't have to be total submission or total a life that is totally unsubmitted. But I think we could all search our hearts and ask God to help us. God, show me any area of my life where I'm not being submitted to You like I should be. God, what test am I not passing? Come on, lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. In your own words, cry out to Him right now. In your own way, pray to Him right now. God, what test am I not passing? Show me, Lord God, because I want to submit to it all. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. God, I don't want people in this church to have to go through some chapters that You never intended for them to go through. God, I don't want them to have to experience some things that they don't have to experience. Some painful nights and some dark nights and some tears that they don't have to shed, that they don't have to go through. God, if we'll just be submitted to Your plan, if we'll just say yes to whatever You want us to do, God, it'll spare us. It will spare us. Help us not to justify our actions, God. Please, God, help us and show us and convict us every time we try to justify our actions or justify opportunities, even though we know it is not Your will. Help us to understand the difference between a good opportunity and a God opportunity. Help us, God. Help us, help us, help us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord Jesus. God, We want to be submitted to your purpose. We want to be submitted to your plan. God, we love you, Jesus. Just lift your hands now and thank him for his word. Can you do that? Can you just thank him for his word? God, we love you. We praise you. God, I resubmit my life to you afresh and anew right now, Holy Ghost. I resubmit my heart to you afresh and anew. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for talking to all of us tonight, God. Thank you for talking to my heart, my life. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody said amen to the word. Amen. Chicagoland Men's Conference. Tomorrow and Saturday, it's going to be a great time. I want to encourage all of our men to be there if you can possibly be. Ministry training this Sunday has been canceled. We had our special sectional leadership seminar in Joliet. And we're going to use that in place. Many of you were there, so we'll use that in place of our training. Hyphen Friendsgiving potluck sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. See the Houstons for details. And please remember our regional revival services, November 29th and 30th and December 1st. This is going to be a great, great, great time, as I told you on